Gemara in Masechus Rosh Hashanah quotes a braisa, Tanya, Rabbi Elazar Omer, B'tishrei Nivra Ha'olam. The world was created, meaning specifically, Adam Harishon was created in Tishrei, on Rosh Hashanah. But the Bria began on Chaf Hei Elul, and that's the sixth day, the day in which Adam Harishon was created, coincided with Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yeshua says that Benisan Nivra Ha'olam, that the world was created, Adam Harishon was created on Chodesh Nisan. We have to try to understand what underlies this dispute between Rabbi Lez and Rabbi Yeshua. Tosfos later, in the third parak in Masechus Rosh Hashanah, quotes that Rabbeinu Tam observed that in the piyutim of Rabbi Lez HaKalir, we find that in one place, in his piyutim for Shmini Aseret, Rabbi Lez HaKalir reflects the opinion of Rabbi Lezer, the Petishrei Nivra Ha'olam, whereas in his piyutim for Pesach, Rabbi Lezer HaKalir reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, the Benisa Nivra Ha'olam. Rabbi Natam suggests that there's no inconsistency within the piyutim of Rabbi Lezer HaKalir, and that Elu Ve'elu Devei Elokim Chayim, and that in fact, B'tishrei Olo B'machshava Livra HaSa'olam, that kaviyachol, whatever this means when predicated of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that kaviyachol, the thought to create the world, occurred to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Chodesh Tishrei, but the implementation was not until Chodesh Nisan. In terms of actualizing, in terms of implementing that machshava, so that didn't happen until Chodesh Nisan. What exactly, again, machshava means when we attribute it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So usually when we think something through, so we're figuring out whether something's a good idea, we're strategizing, we're planning tactics. Obviously, even when we're speaking anthropomorphically about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, clearly that's not what machshava means. Moreover, what a chazal, what according to Rabbeinu Tam, is being conveyed when we say that Kaviyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu first entertained the machshava, the thought to create the world in Chodesh Tishrei. Before Briyas HaOlam, there was no such thing as time. Right? Time itself is a creation. It's part of Briyas HaOlam. Prior to Briyas HaOlam, there was no Tishrei, there was no Nisan, there wasn't time. So what does it mean, again, to say that Kaviyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the thought to create the world in Chodesh Tishrei? We find a similar contrast between what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's original machshava was and the implementation of that machshava with regard to Briyas HaOlam. Rashi, in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, commenting on the psukim, on the one hand, Bereishis Bara Elokim, so the Torah refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Shem Elokim, again reflecting, each of the Shemos reflect an aspect of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to the world. Elokim, of course, expresses the aspect of Din. So Bereishis Bara Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu as creator is identified as Elokim, reflecting again the aspect of Din. Later, the Torah tells us, "Biyom Asos Hashem Elokim Eretz V'Shamayim," that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer referred to solely as Elokim, but rather as Hashem Elokim, Hashem, of course, expressing, reflecting Midas HaRachem, the attribute of mercy, of compassion. Rashi quotes Chazal, that b'tchila olav b'machshava livro as ha'olam b'midas ha'din. And then again, kaviyachol, there was an original thought. The original thought which HaKadosh Baruch Hu entertained was to create the world according to a strict standard of justice. And then ra'a she'en ha'olam iskayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that we wouldn't be able to survive if held to a strict standard of justice. So Memeila Shitas Midas HaRachamim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blended alongside the Midas HaDin and Midas HaRachamim, an attribute of mercy, of compassion as well. Again, here too, in addition to the other questions which have accumulated, obviously one cannot speak of HaKadosh Baruch Hu having an original plan which he then needed to modify. So what then are Chazal trying to convey in describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu as having had an original plan of creating the world only qua Elohim, creating the world according to a strict standard of justice, and later changing, as it were, modifying that original plan? And finally, one last question, which we're going to try to briefly explore tonight. The whole progression from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippurim is somewhat puzzling. Rosh Hashanah, again, represents Din. Originally, at the onset of Rosh Hashanah, it's Din Kasha. Din Kasha. Unadulterated Din. Then Chazal tell us in the Medrash Rabbah, commenting on the pasuk of Ol Elokim B'Tzruah Hashem B'Kol Shofar, that through our Tkiyah Shofar, so then that Din is softened. It injects an element of Rachamim into the Din. But it remains a day of Din. Yom Kippur, on the other hand, is a day of Rachamim. Albeit with an element of Din injected into the Rachamim. But the emphasis on Yom HaKippurim is on the Rachamim. Why don't we just go straight to Yom HaKippurim? Why does the Torah insist on first having a Rosh Hashanah, first having this exacting standard of Din, and only later allowing us the privilege of having a Yom HaKippurim, a Yom HaRachamim? When Rabbi Lezer says that B'tishrei Nivra HaOlam, the timing for creation of Adam HaRishon, the creation of man, reflects who what man is, what the essence of a person is, what the essence of our humanity is. And according to Rabbi Lezer, in teaching us that Adam Nivra the Rosh Hashanah, what Rabbi Lezer is conveying is that the essence of a man, of a person, is to be accountable. That's the essence of humanity. That we're blessed with the prerogative of Bechira Chashis, and accordingly, the essence, the defining human trait with which we're endowed is accountability. And that's the significance of Adam being Nivan Rosh Hashanah. He was Nivan Yom HaDin. He was created into a situation of din, of judgment, because that's the essence of a person. That's what it means to be human, is to be accountable. Now the term, again, a person has to give din v'cheshbon, that's the essence. So the term cheshbon, the shorish, Cheshin Beis in Lashon HaKodesh, we find it in different places. For instance, in Parshas Bahar, when the Torah presents the dinim about redeeming a stei achuzah, an ancestral field which had been sold due to poverty. So the Torah says that you have to prorate the price when you redeem it. So the Torah says, V'chisha v'shnei memkoro. Meaning that there has to be a precise calculation. It's not an approximation, but there's a precise calculation as to how many years were left to Yovel when the sale was made, how many remain now, and then it has to be prorated accordingly. Similarly, the Chishav and Konehu, that the term, again, Cheshbon, as in, which Rabbi Lezer is saying is the essence of a person, implies precise calculation. Din v'cheshbon, a reckoning and an accounting, suggests the image of an accountant who has to maintain financial records with precision, to the last penny. Approximation is alien to the science of accounting. So too, Rabbi Lezer, in teaching that B'tishrei Nivra HaOlam, says that to be human is to be accountable, not just in general terms, but for every action, for every precious moment of our lives. Accountability, this notion of being accountable, is alien to the modern psyche. On the contrary, modern man conceives of freedom as meaning that one doesn't have to answer to anyone. So many people aspire to start their own business for precisely this reason. Because if one starts one's own business, to be one's own boss means not to have to answer to anyone. We do impose accountability in some areas, but not necessarily on ourselves. School decorum and discipline, for instance, are founded upon a philosophy of accountability. Children must be punctual to school, to class. If tardy, so they're censured for that tardiness. They have to sit quietly, only speak when invited to do so. Missing homework assignments are not tolerated. As parents, we generally support such educational policies because, after all, we all recognize that without accountability, there's not going to be any successful education. Hence, the current movement and trend towards mandatory testing. Because if there's no accountability, there are not going to be adequate results. The question which Rabbi Lezer puts to us is whether this emphasis on accountability, and an accountability not just in general terms, but an accountability which focuses on the most minute details, does that emphasis extend to ourselves as well in our post-school adulthood? Do we monitor and censure our own talking during shul with the same standards of strictness according to which we monitor and censure our children for talking during class out of turn? Are we as demanding of ourselves in terms of accountability for kviyas itim l'Torah, setting aside daily times for Talmud Torah, as we are demanding of our children with regard to their responsibility for their homework assignments? When our children want to play or talk on the phone, thereby neglecting their schoolwork, so we speak to them about priorities, about Ikar and Tofel. But what about, Rabbi Lazar asks us, what about our own priorities? Adam Niva B'Tishrei. To be human is to be accountable. How do we prioritize and allocate our free time? Do tefillah b'tzibur, Talmud Torah, gemilas chasodim rank as they ought to? How do we spend our Sundays? Do we prioritize so as to reflect our belief that this world is but a gateway to the world to come? Man was created in Tishrei, the Tishrei Nivra Olam, says Rabbi Lezer. That means our very humanity depends upon honestly confronting such pointed and at times painful questions. Rabbi Yeshua says that the Nisan Nivra Olam. What does Chodesh Nisan represent? Tishrei represents Din. What does Chodesh Nisan represent? Nisan, spring, Chodesh Aviv, is when the natural cycle is renewed. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, in the same sugya, which presents this dispute between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yeshua, Ezel Chodesh Shehoaretz Motziyo Dishoyim Ve'ilan Motzi Peros. Which month is it in which the land once again brings forth vegetation and the tree brings forth fruits, Hevayom Ezer Nisan? This is Chodesh Nisan. In the Beis HaMikdash, the new Trumas HaLishka was inaugurated on Chodesh Nisan, right? We have Pasha Shkolim, either if Shabbos coincides with the Chodesh Adar or the Shabbos before the Chodesh Adar, commemorating that during the course of Chodesh Adar, they collected, the Machzis HaShekel was collected. It was that Machzis HaShekel again which created the fund of Trumas HaLishka from which Korbanos Tzibur were purchased. And that new fund, every year there was a new fund, so the fiscal year in the Beis HaMikdash, in terms of the Trumas HaLishka, in terms of that fund, was from began on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So Nisan represents Hischadshus, represents renewal, it represents regeneration. Accordingly, when Rabbi Yeshua teaches that v'nisan nivra ha'olam, what Rabbi Yeshua is saying is that the essence of man, the core and crux of humanity, is the capacity for self-renewal, for regeneration. The Rambam offers the following glowing, poetic description of tshuva. Kama me'ula ma'ilas ha'tshuva. How wonderful, how superlative tshuva is. Emesh ha'yazem muvdol me'ashem elokei Yisrael. Just yesterday, just last night, this person was distant, remote, estranged from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenema v'nosechem hoyum avdilim b'neichem v'vein elokechem. Your sins had created a barrier between yourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tzoek v'einu nano. When he would cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he didn't merit any response. Osan mitzvos. When he would fulfill mitzvos, his toshen osan b'fonov. They were rejected, as it were, ripped up in his face. V'hayom, the Rambam says, today, the Rambam gives this before and after portrait, v'hayom, after the tshuva, humudbat v'shchina, he clings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu shenema v'atem advekim v'ashem elokechem. You cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tzoeg v'nana miyad. When the person cries out, he's answered immediately, osa mitzvos, now when he fulfills mitzvah, so not only are those mitzvahs accepted, but they're accepted with pleasure, with joy. Basically, what the Rambam here describes is hischadshus, self-renewal, regeneration. And this is the essence of man, the essence of humanity. And in this context of Rabbi Yeshua's Shita, the observation which the Rav made about this halacha resonates especially, especially powerfully. The Rav called attention, you'll find it in the Al HaTshuva, to an amazing, amazing diyuk in the Lashon HaRambam. In the Rambam's before and after portrait of this Baal Tshuva, the Rambam says, what was he yesterday? Emesh hayozem muvdal me'ashem elokei Yisrael. What is he today? Hayom hu muvdal v'shchina. The Rav noticed that when the Rambam described the before picture, so he employs the zeh, right? An impersonal pronoun. One which is suitable, one which is proper to denote something inanimate. And when the Rambam paints the after portrait, so it's no longer zeh, it's not this one, or this thing, it's hayom humud v'shchina. The Rambam switches to the personal pronoun. And again, we understand that so well in light of what Rabbi Yeshua is saying, because the essence of his humanity, to be a who, means that to exercise that capacity, to exercise that ability that we have for his chadshus, for self-renewal. It's only when a person exercises that ability, then he becomes a who. Then he elevates himself to that level of humanity. Previously, it was zeh, muvdol, mehashem, elokei Yisrael. Much as Rabbi Elazar's teaching that B'tishrei Nivra Olam challenges us to introspect with regard to accountability, so too Rabbi Yeshua's teaching that B'nisan Nivra Olam challenges us to introspect with regard to Hischadshus, self-renewal. This capacity, Rabbi Yeshua says, comprises the essence of our humanity. But, Rabbi Yeshua asks us, do we exercise this ability or do we squander it? Now, to answer that question, we could look around, but it's much more appropriate that we look inward. How many of us do I continue to exercise this capacity for renewal into our mature adult years, and how many of us slip into a spiritually static existence? How many of us do I have lifelong goals of tikkun amidos, to refine one's character, to correct character flaws and the like, and how many of us basically remain the same throughout our adult years? Our spiritual growth effectively stunted. How many of us, again, once we pass the age of growing up, when it's natural to dream about the future, when it's natural to think what one is going to become, how many of us, again, when one's hair is already spotted with white, how many of us aspire to become something or someone better than we are and work assiduously towards that goal? And how many of us simply, complacently follow our routines? Rabbi Yeshua's teaching that B'nisan Nivra Olam challenges us to honestly confront this set of pointed and penetrating questions. In light of this, what then was Rabbeinu Tam suggesting in saying that b'machshava, that the thought to create the world occurred to HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol in Chodesh Tishrei, but the implementation, the actualization, was not until Chodesh Nisan? Similarly, what does the machshava livo se'olam b'midas hadin represent? The answer is that the ideal, and it's for this ideal that we're obligated to strive, the ideal is that a person be a Tishrei person. The ideal is that the accountability, that trait of accountability, that a person be so faithful to that, that he justify his existence according to a strict standard of justice. Gracious Bar Elokim is b'machshava Allah livo sa'olam b'midas hadin, according to a strict standard of justice. The Torah communicates that to us because what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's original machshava represents is the ideal to which we must strive. And that's, again, the same way, b'machshava livo sa'olam b'midas hadin. So therefore, the machshava to create Adam, to create man, was B'tishrei, was on Rosh Hashanah. This understanding precludes a mindset which we often adopt. It's a mindset which says, well, I'm only human. How much can I really ask of myself? How much should I really be pushing myself? How much should I really be striving? After all, I'm only human. Human beings have shortcomings. They have failings. There's only so much I should ask of myself. The machshava livot ha'olam, which is communicated to us, is that we should strive for perfection. If a person doesn't strive for perfection, so then a person is not going to achieve 80% or 60% of his potential either. If there's an element of complacency in the original aspirations, if one's original aspirations are tainted, again, by this complacency of what can I do, how much can I accomplish, so then a person can't even begin to approach what his true potential is. It's only if a person is aware of the fact that the machshava to create Adam was without recourse to the koch of his chadshus, that his faithfulness to the accountability would be so great that he could live again as a Tishrei being, that gracious boy Elohim. It's only if a person is mindful of that that he will come as close as possible to realizing his potential. Inevitably, we fall short. And it's at that point, only ex post facto, only looking back on this past year, when I realize how far short of the mark I have fallen, at this point, a person reminds himself that yes, while it's true that the machshava was to create Adam b'Tishrei, the machshava was gracious by Elohim, that's the ideal. But the real is that the nisan nivra ha'olam. What's real is b'yom asos Hashem Elohim, Eretz v'shamayim, that we have this capacity for his chadshus, for self-renewal. And that's also this idea, again, that a person should hold himself, again, l'chatchila, to the standard of din, to the standard of Tishrei, of b'tishrei nivra olam, is also reflected in this progression of Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim. If the Torah would have catapulted us immediately to Yom HaKippurim again, so the intimation would have been, just try to answer to that standard of Rachamim. Don't hold yourself l'chatchila to a higher standard. Says the Torah, no, first is a Rosh Hashanah. That's what a person strives for initially. Strive for Rosh Hashanah. Strive to be a Tzadik Gomor, to justify yourself according to the standards of Rosh Hashanah. Yes, inevitably, most of us don't qualify as such. Yes, there is a Yom HaKippurim, the Nisan Nivra Ha'olam, the Yom Asos Hashem Elokim, Eretz V'Shamayim. I hope the Yivam Shalom will bless us, will strengthen us to realize this capacity of humanity, to take to heart the notion of accountability, and again, standing on the threshold of the Yom Nevoyim, to exercise that capacity for his chadshus, to be chozer, b'tshuva shleima, and to be zoche, b'chlal u'b'frat, for k'siv v'chsim atovim.